Well, hey, good morning, and welcome to what is our really our third message in this series about Turn the Page. Today, we're going to be talking about I Have Decided to Stop and what that looks like. If you're here last week, either in person or you watched Pastor Todd, the message last week was how I've decided to start and the things we needed to start doing. But as we're going through all of this, the thing we're talking about that really impacts everything is our decisions. It's the choices that we are making right now is what's going to determine the stories that we get to tell in the future. And I don't know about you, but I love stories, but I especially love a great God story. Just this past week, we had a worship night at the church, and throughout it, at one point, Pastor Todd said, hey, who's got a story to share? And people came from all over and just sharing one after another of where God had met them and how God moved in their life. I love things like that because it's when we begin to tell the God stories, it encourages other people. I don't know about you, but it encourages me when I hear how God met somebody. It's awesome. So what the choices, the directions, the decisions we're making right now, those are the things that are going to impact the stories we get to tell in the future. And it's your direction, not your intention, because I don't know about you, but I can intend to do a lot of things. I can intend to fix this, to do that, to replace all these different things we can intend to do. But it's when we start putting some direction, some movement in that way, it's our direction, not our intention, that determines our destination. And so, man, where are you going today? So as we get into today and we look at what it is to decide to stop, because I don't know about you, there are some things that we've got to stop doing. If you've been following around with us, our scripture for this series is out of Hebrews 12. So if you got your Bibles, flip over to Hebrews 12. And then also, we're going to be in Exodus 18 today. So if you got your Bible, that's where we're going to be. But look at Hebrews 12. I'm going to hit two right now, but we're going to come back and look at one in just a second. When we look, though, at what it is to live a life that becomes a story worth telling, how do we do that? We do is what Paul says, we think Paul anyway, in Hebrews 12, where he says, hey, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the one that we've got to fix, thinking about our direction, where we're going, where we're heading. It's Jesus. So today, we're going to talk about what it is to stop. And by the way, when we think about things that we should stop, oftentimes we think about the bad things that we're doing. We think about the hurts and the hang-ups, our faults, our flaws. But when we think about stopping, it's not just a sin issue. There is, obviously, we need to stop sin in our life. If there's patterns of behavior in our life, we need to stop those things. But there can be some really, really, really good things that you're doing that can keep you from doing really great things or God things. And so it's not just about sin. We can be talking about, when we think about what it is to stop, it can be some good things too. So now we're going to look at Exodus 18. So grab your Bibles. Today we're going to talk about three reasons that are good reasons of why we should stop. And the first one is that, man, hey, sometimes you don't know what you're missing until you stop. So let's look at Exodus 18. I'm going to start off in verse 13. If you know where you're at, and even if you don't, I'm going to kind of catch you up. We are now with the Israelites. They are in the desert. So at one point, we know the story of Joseph, where Joseph had gone down to Egypt as a slave. He ends up saving the entire nation of Egypt from starvation through this dream that God had really helped him interpret for Pharaoh. And then he says, Pharaoh, this is how you save your nation. You do all these different things. And so he does. And in the process, his whole family, Joseph's family, the ones that had sold him into slavery, his brothers, come down, and Joseph is able to provide for them, and God restores all that. It's an awesome story. You fast forward 400 years, new Pharaoh, new guy that doesn't know anything about what Joseph and the Israelites have, how they saved Egypt. He looks at this people and go, man, these are a lot of people. And he gets pretty worried. They could take over our country. They could sell us out to other nations. And so he enacts a policy of slavery where they enslave the Israelites and put them to work. God ultimately sends Moses back. This is Moses, who was the one that was raised in Pharaoh's household. He was pulled out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's household, lives life for a while on the run, ends up having a wife and children in a far-off nation in Midian. And God grabs Moses, if you remember the story in Exodus of the burning bush, God grabs Moses and says, hey, man, I've got a job for you. It's to go back and bring your people into the freedom you're living in. And so Moses goes back. The story of the 10 plagues, where God uses Moses and Aaron to bring about these plagues in Egypt. decimates the nation who's been trying to hold on to these slaves, ultimately walk out as free people, go to the Red Sea. Pharaoh shows up, tries to capture them, and they go through all the Red Sea. God brings the Red Sea down on Pharaoh's army. It's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And so they get to Mount Sinai, and while they're there, you've got a whole nation of people that are sitting there, and they've been slaves for years. And God's, throughout this, has really just been kind of for them an idea. And so now they're sitting there going, okay, well, what do we do about this? How do we follow God? How do I solve these problems? And so they're coming to Moses, which is where we're at now in Exodus 18, and they're bringing them all their problems. And so because Moses is the leader, he's acting as judge. And so look in Exodus 18, verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other, and they waited for him from morning till evening. It's a long time to wait. Probably faster than our court systems, though. When Moses' father-in-law, so his father-in-law has come, Jethro has come. He's watching everything. He saw all that Moses was doing for the people. He asked, "What are you really accomplishing here, Moses? Dude, what are you getting done? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" So he's watching Moses. Moses is just sitting there, and people are coming. They're just waiting for Moses to hear their cases and answer their questions, and he's just sitting there. All day this is going on. And Moses replies, "Well, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God, and when a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he goes, "This is not good." He's like, "Hey, man, this is not good," he exclaimed. "You are going to wear yourself out. You and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle by yourself." So Moses was in the middle of all this, and you ever been lost in a forest sometimes, and you're just in there and you're like, "I have no idea where I'm at. I'm so clueless." That's where Moses was. Man, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. We're stuck in the middle of this thing, and we don't realize how much we're missing. Moses couldn't see. Because he was in the middle of it, he couldn't see the problem that was surrounding him. He couldn't see that, man, there was all these people just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And Jethro's just sitting on the outside, and he's watching this, and he's going, "Hey, this isn't good, man. You're creating bigger problems. You're not solving them." One of the big things that Moses was missing out, and we actually learned this a little earlier in chapter 18, if you look back, is that Moses had been missing out for a period of time of being a husband and a father. And in the middle of him leading all these people out and doing all this different stuff, Moses had actually sent his wife and his sons back to his father-in-law. He'd sent them away. He'd said, "Man, you guys go back to your dad. I can't handle this right now." And so in the middle of him doing all this stuff, he was missing out, and he didn't even realize how much he was missing out. It's Jethro. We find out Jethro, actually, the reason why Jethro's there is he actually brings his wife Jethro's daughter, Moses' wife and sons, back and says, "Hey, I'm here. I'm coming. I'm bringing you your wife and your sons." Moses was so wrapped up, he had no idea what he was missing out on. And man, thank goodness that Moses actually listens to his father-in-law. But I will tell you this. There's so much stuff that we can be missing out on in life that we have no idea. But when we take to heart the things that people are saying to us and we go, "Oh man, all right, I'm going to listen." You have no idea the blessings that lie on the other side of your obedience. All right, so the reason why we should stop, number one, we don't know what we're missing out. The second thing is you don't know what's going to cost you if you don't stop. There is a cost. I love the plane flying overhead too, by the way. Can you tell we're outside? Isn't this great? By the way, the weather's pretty awesome. But you don't know what it's going to cost you if you don't stop. There's a price that is paid when we keep on going in directions. And it can be, by the way, if you're going the right direction, you're doing the right things, it can be a very good price that we end up paying. It ends up being a blessing. But if we continue down paths, certain paths, there can be a price to pay. One of my professors in Bible college had said one time that, man, the devil reserves the right to bill us at his most opportune time for our foolishness and our decisions. There's things that you can be doing, and right now, man, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but there's gonna be a price to pay. So we're gonna do a little exercise today. Let's think about some of the things that we sometimes are doing. And how about an unhealthy lifestyle? So it could be the way we're eating, could be smoking, could be not exercising, all these different things. You start playing this forward, going, okay, well, maybe if I continue doing this, maybe I'm not around. Maybe my health has caught up with me to the point where I'm not around and I don't actually get to walk my daughter down the aisle, or maybe I don't get to see my grandkids grow up. Maybe I'm having to leave work early and I'm not able to function in life. Maybe I spend the last 20 years of my life battling health issues and I'm in hospitals in and out. This is a kind of a play it forward. So when I'm thinking about the cost of what's going to happen if I don't stop, living unhealthy's got a cost. Maybe it's a party lifestyle. Maybe there's the continually being at bars, drinking, hanging out with friends. That can be fun for a season, it seems like, but man, what happens if the DUI start adding up? Maybe you end up developing addictive behaviors and habits, and you carry those things into your family. And you think about the damage that can do to your marriage, to your kids, to the relationships around you because you've embraced this addictive lifestyle. What about things we bring in through our eyes and our ears? Pornography is a huge example of that. Like, if I continue looking at all these different things in my that bring temporary fulfillment, what kind of a damage is that going to do to my marriage? What kind of a damage can that do to my kids? And man, like, it may seem like a harmless thing, and it's not, but it may seem like a harmless thing in the moment. But man, at some point, that grows. Anything you feed in your life is going to grow. And so if you're feeding the wrong things, it becomes a monster that at some point you are in big trouble with. And it's going to impact your life in a huge, huge way. So the cost, how about overspending? That's sometimes we don't even think about that. We just, man, Amazon's great. I love Amazon. I love Amazon. But man, like, how fast can we just drop? And especially now, you know, with so much of our things being on our cards and plastic, we don't have that real-time reaction of seeing money leave our hands. We're just swiping a card. It doesn't cost us anything, at least mentally, but man, it's overspending. Man, you think about where that plays out. You play that out in the future, man, not having money to help keep our kids in sports, or maybe it's having to not buy something in the future, not having a great house, not having, the ability to do things in the future because we spent it all now on little things. Man, how about, when we're having relational issues with our spouse and nagging them, and we can continue on just to like, you know, because, I mean, hey, they should be getting their act together. And so, and what's a little more negative? We pile this on. But man, what do you think that's doing to our relationships with our spouse, with our friendships, when we're constantly nagging and going, hey, you should do this, you should do that. Have you thought about, like, it can create some problems. How about this one? This is especially for us as guys, but I don't think it's just a guy thing. How about overworking? Putting in 60, 70, 80 hours a week, what kind of a damage is that going to do to our family, to our kids, to our relationships? And so I want to ask you this question, and I want you to really think about this question for a moment. Am I content? Am I content? Are you content? Like, that's a real thing, because so much of the stuff, when we look back at things that we should stop, that we're not even thinking about what we're missing out or the cost it's going to, so much of those things is because I'm not content. It's because I'm not content. I'm wanting more. And sometimes the more is not even really a real thing. I heard this story a while back, and so I went and found it. It's actually written by a German man. It's called The Mexican Fisherman, and some of you may have heard it before, but it's a fun story. The story goes like this. There was an American investment banker, and he was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village. He's on vacation, and he saw this small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna, and the American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish and asked, "How long did it take you to catch them?" And the Mexican replied, "Only a little while." The American then asked, "Why didn't he stay out longer and catch more fish? I mean, this only took you a little while. Why didn't you stay out longer?" To which the Mexican said, "I have enough to support my family's immediate needs." And the American asked, "What do you do with the rest of your day? I mean, you've only been out here. This is morning time. What do you do with the rest of your time?" And the Mexican fisherman said, "Well, I sleep late. I fish a little. I play with my children. I take siestas with my wife, Maria. I stroll around the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life." Sounds pretty fun. Well, the American scoffed, like all good Americans. He goes, "I'm a Harvard MBA, and I could definitely help you. So here's what you should do. You should spend some more time fishing. And then with the proceeds from the more time you spend fishing and catching more fish, you should buy a bigger boat. And with the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could actually buy several boats. All right. Eventually, you'd have a whole fleet of fishing boats. And instead of selling your catch to the middleman, like walking down and selling it to the guy down here, you would actually sell directly to the processor and eventually opening up your own processing and cannery. You would control the product, the processing, the distribution. You'd control it all. You would need to move, though, from your small coastal fishing village here in Mexico to Mexico City to run all this. And then to LA, and then eventually New York, where you would run your expanding empire. This sounds pretty crazy. And the Mexican fisherman asked a good question. Well, how long will this take? To which the American replied, 15, 20 years. But then what? Asked the Mexican. Well, then the American laughed and said, that's the best part. When the time is right, you would announce an IPO on the stock market, and you would sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions of dollars. Millions, the Mexican man. He said, well, then what? The American said, well, then you'd retire. You'd move to a small coastal fishing village where you'd sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siestas with your wife, and stroll the village in the evenings where you'd sip wine and play guitar with your amigos. Sounds great. Sounds just like what he had. It's amazing sometimes we look at all the things that we want to try to put all this time and effort and energy into building and doing and getting. And it was right there all along. And this American in this story looked at all this different stuff and he missed out. I think about the cost of what he told this guy in this story. Obviously, it's a fictional story, but I don't know that it's that fictional in real life. We do this all the time. We work so hard. 15 to 20 years is what he told the guy, to make millions, to do the exact same thing you're doing now. And the reality is, in those 15, 20 years, his kids would be gone. His wife may have left him after all that craziness. The best years of his life were gone. Why? All so that he could make millions to stop and do what he was already doing. And so are you content? There may be some things right now, and I mean, you know, the question really is kind of, man, what does God really want me to want? What is it I'm supposed to desire? What are the things that I should be doing? And so am I content? So when we think about why we should stop, the things I'm missing out on, man, I could be missing out on being a husband, a father. I could be missing out on being a friend. I could be missing out on just, man, stopping, resting, enjoying because of all the go, 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 go. I'm not realizing the cost of this life. It's going to take years of my life to get to here when really I should maybe just be content with what I've gotten and make the best of where I am. Hebrews 12, again, going back to where we started. How do we do this? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And you may say, man, hey, I'm looking at my story though, Pastor Josh, and I'm going, man, like it sounds nice to this guy's simple life, but man, my story's not that perfect. Like I don't what do I do? Like it's not that great. And here's the reality. Like I get that. Like my story's not where I want it to be either, in a sense. But that is why I have to ask myself, okay, am I content? But then the reality is this too, man. If our stories aren't finished, and if my story's not good, and I really just sometimes need to ask myself, what's my definition of good? Is it God's definition of good or is it the world's definition of good? But man, if my story's not good, that means God's not done. So why we should stop? We don't know we're missing out. We don't know the cost. But really the third thing is this, you know what you should do. I love if you look back in Exodus 18:24. It says that Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice. There was a spot where Moses kind of had a light bulb moment and he was like, Oh yeah. And the reality is some of you guys may have already had those conversations with people. People may have come to you and said, hey, the thing you're doing right now, it's not a good thing. It's not going to help you out. And so you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to stop. You look right before, and I said we're going to come back to this verse, right before Hebrews 12:2, it says this in 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So, in this verse, there are two things. Things that hinder, things that entangle. The things that hinder, these are not sin issues. These are things that These may be even good things, but they're hindering you from doing what God has purposed and called you to do. And then entanglements, these are things that wrap us up, that capture us. It's the idea of being caught in a net or a snare. It's hunting. And it's the idea that there's a real enemy to your soul who is hunting you, and he wants to do nothing more than to take you out. And so let me ask you this. When you think about what it is I'm supposed to stop in my life, what is it in your life that's hindering you? What are the things that are hinders? These are the weights. It's the throw off everything, Paul says, the weights that hinder. It's the things we're carrying around in our life that we don't need to carry. And then what is the thing that's entangling you? Is there sin in your life? Are there things in your life that you've opened the door in your heart and your life to that's trying to wrap you up, to entangle you, to bring you down? And guess, I'm telling you right now, you do not want to pay the price of those entanglements. The cost of what it'll cost you to continue down the road of sin is huge. And so what are those things? And I want to challenge you in one thing today as we wrap up. What's the one thing, and you may have more than one, but what's one thing you need to stop today? For some of you, it may be to stop running from the Lord and answer his call. God's been yelling at you, some of you guys, so loudly to say, hey, come back home, come to me, come follow me. So you may need to stop running from the Lord. Other of you, there may be something specific in your life you need to stop. It may be to turn off the television. It may be to set aside pornography. It may be to stop an actual job and do something different because you recognize that you're maybe working, but you're missing out on everything at home. What is the one thing you need to stop? And you need to take today and go tell someone, hey, this is what I am stopping. This is what I'm stopping. Why am I stopping? It's because I don't want to keep missing out. And I don't want to pay the price that this is going to cost. I want to be right in the middle of where God has for me. Let me pray for you. God, I just thank you so much for your word and that we can see in it what in this great story of Moses, that God, sometimes there's so much that we're doing that we're in the middle of. And Lord, it's not the right thing. And Lord, I pray just today for everyone that's listening to this message, God, that you would give them courage to recognize and to know what it is they are supposed to stop. The thing in their life that, God, they've been doing, that they've been holding on to, that, Lord, it's pulling them back. It's entangling them. It's tying them up. And, God, it's going to cost them someday more than they ever want to pay, and it's going to keep them, Lord, missing out on so many different things in life that, God, you want them to be a part of and engaged with and full of life. God, I pray you'd give them the wisdom to see that, and, Lord, that you would give them the courage today to stop and to walk in your freedom, to be content, God, with where it is you've placed them, and, to Lord, to follow you. And bless them in the name of Jesus. Be with them and give them that courage. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have an awesome, awesome day. And we will see you back next week as we get into our fourth message. It's going to be awesome. See you then.